Australia's Law Reform Commission has reportedly recommended the federal government change the Sex Discrimination Act to remove Section 38. That's the bit that allows religious schools and institutions to employ people who endorse and practice the same values. A new religious discrimination law would reportedly allow faith-based schools to keep their spiritual character. Some church groups, though, worry this could lead to endless legal challenges. Lawyer Mark Fowler specialises in religious liberty. He's also with the law schools at Notre Dame and Queensland universities.
The Australian Law Reform Commission was asked by the government to provide models for reforming the exemption for religious schools in the Sex Discrimination Act. They have given their final report to the government. It's not yet been publicly released, but it has been reported that they will be recommending the removal of the existing exemption within the Sex Discrimination Act. The Law Reform Commission did release a consultation paper last year, and in it they said the effect of that removal and their recommendation would be that even a religious instruction teacher could be required to teach the beliefs of the school, but they could also then express their own beliefs, which are contrary, and advocate those to the students. So that gave rise to quite considerable concern on the part of religious leaders. And we are going to see the final report, to which the government will need to make a response. It won't be the position of the government once released, but it will be out in the next few days.
When we talk about the maintenance of the ethos, there'll be some listeners who will be saying, I understand when you're teaching religious studies, I understand if it's the principal of the school that needs to believe and promote and in a personal life model those attributes. But what does it matter about the maths teacher? The maths teacher shouldn't be talking about values anyway.
This is a common consideration that is raised. You will find in many religious schools the understanding that we are a community of faith. We are raising children within a community of faith, and that is, in effect, giving effect to the international human right of parents to raise their children in accordance with their own religious and moral convictions. So when a school puts forward a teacher, it puts forward a model of conduct to the students. If you give an example you gave in Mass, many religious schools, I understand, teach or include within their Mass curriculum teaching about what Mass is under their God's ordered universe. So there is actually direct curriculum content that stems from belief, and many schools endeavour to tie that back and illustrate that for students. But it is also the fact that a model of conduct is being offered to the children. A life lived in authentic faith is what is being sought by the parents that place their children in those schools.
You've said that there is a difference between direct and indirect discrimination. What do you mean by that? And how might the law apply that?
The issue is that if the Law Reform Commission is removing the Section 38, if that's the recommendation, then schools will need to look to the tests for direct and indirect discrimination to find out whether they're acting unlawfully. And it is a very imprecise boundary. There are two great areas of uncertainty. The first is, what is the distinction between direct and indirect discrimination? And I can give it briefly for your listeners. It is commonly illustrated by the example of the Sikh man who is wearing a turban. We have a neutral rule that all motorcycle riders will wear a motorcycle helmet. In that case, it's a neutral rule that when applied to the Sikh man becomes discriminatory on the basis of his religious belief. That, under the law, is indirect discrimination, and it is permissible if it's reasonable in the view of a judge. So a school would need to argue that when we adopt a standard, when we require teachers to model an ethos and teach our beliefs, that is a neutral rule regardless of any particular attribute that the teacher may have. The problem is that the dividing line is very indistinct, and the courts and many academics have recognised that. The second area of uncertainty is, if it is indirect discrimination and not direct, then you must satisfy a judge that it's reasonable. We're talking about matters of religious belief, and reasonable minds will differ on what is reasonable in matters eternal and concerning the sacred. So there is a great deal of uncertainty if we are left with the twin tests of direct versus indirect and the reasonableness test.
And more to the point, Mark, aren't we talking about potential litigation for schools over matters that a civil court would struggle to decide.
Quite right. So it's not just the parent community and the schools that are going to suffer under this uncertainty. It's also the staff members of the schools. I just want to note, Andrew, that it's interesting that the prior president of the Australian Law Reform Commission, Justice Derrington, released a proposed model for reform, which had no uncertainty of that nature. And she said it was inconsistent with human rights law in 2019. She put in quite a number of principles and checks and balances into that law and recognised that when a school acts in accordance with its religious beliefs, it is not discriminating, which is a fundamental principle of human rights law.
So, Mark, where might that principle stand with the release of this new report?
If the Commission's report does say what has been reported in the press, it is completely inconsistent with the prior president's recommendations. So we have two commissioners recommending separate regimes, which are opposite in many respects, and both of which are saying they're consistent with human rights law. I also want to note that it is a prospect the law will therefore remain unchanged in respect of staff, for example. And it is often not noted that within the existing exemptions, there are checks and balances there. So first of all, a school must demonstrate it is conducted in accordance with the doctrines that it purports to hold. So if it has inconsistent conduct, it's not sincere, then it wouldn't be able to access the exemption. And it must also act in good faith. So these are important checks and balances as measures within the existing law.
Mark Fowler of Notre Dame and Queensland Universities.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.